Welcome to the podcast of Kingsway Community Church, a community inspired by love to live differently. If you'd like to connect with us online, join us at one of our churches, make a financial contribution, or discover more about Kingsway, head to www.kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app by simply searching Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this podcast will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
I am used to standing in front of groups of people and speaking. Those people are usually about this tall and they don't listen. So what I have to say doesn't really matter. But now it's real. Yeah. It's very real. To be able to speak God's word with my voice to you is a very important thing. And so I just want to tell you straight up, I'm a simple man and I have a simple word. It's a four-letter word that I'm going to be sharing with you today. And just my prayer is that your heart is open to hear the word, not the voice. So just to intro why I'm standing here, a few weeks ago I received a text message, personal invite from Dave, say, hey, Andrew, would like to have you preach on the 19th. What do you think about that? And of course, having prefaced this now, saying that normally I talk to just little kids, and this would be a bit more daunting for me, I said, well, maybe we can talk on Sunday and we'll sort that out. But, you know, I couldn't really see why not. So then that following Sunday, while I'm sitting just where I sit, and Kim makes the announcement that in 2 weeks' time, Andrew will be preaching. I thought, okay, that's the conversation over. Dave turns around in the break, gives me his smile, which is this big, and says, how is that? First it's a text message, now it's an announcement. I'm going, now it's real. Yeah, it's on. So the deal was sealed then. The next dilemma came. This is the topic. His word, our voices. There's a lot of words in the Bible, so I was a little bit worried about how do you choose what the word is. So I then started to think, okay, our voice, I can't really speak for all of you, so I can only speak my voice. How does God's word and my voice come together? So normally I thought, okay, well, how do I use my voice in church? And that brought me to the word sing. So it's a good four-letter word. So yeah, I'm going to be talking a little bit about singing, maybe a lot about singing today. So I hope in this next little while that you'll learn a little bit more about this topic, the important influence that singing has had in my life, and also how singing might fit into the scheme of things in God's eyes. When I say singing, I mean a couple of things, of course. I mean the obvious, the secular idea of, yeah, there's words, there's music, they go together, they convey a message. There's sounds, there's voice. But I also will be spending some time on the aspect of singing and how it plays an important role in worship. Experts, I like to quote experts. Experts would tell us that singing is good for us. There are many benefits physically and mentally for our health. It could improve the quality of our life. When we sing, our body creates antidepressive hormones that we can get from doing things like yoga or psychotherapy sessions or fitness training, except singing's free. We don't have to pay to go there. We can do it anywhere. Mainly music on Wednesdays here is focused on singing with our kids. And that's a really great time for mums to get together and for kids to get together and to enjoy a message about God in there as well, because we thank God for our toes and our knees and our eyes and our nose and everything else we can do. But we sing together. I have a grandson. He's 16 months old. and he can't eat his breakfast without the music goes on and they're singing in the background. And he knows to respond to that singing. When twinkle, twinkle happens, he knows to do those things. So singing starts to get your brain going from a very early age. And yet singing can also stimulate your brain in the later days. We also see results of research where Alzheimer's patients who can't speak can still sing when they hear music from their past. Singing can improve your cardiovascular systems, improve your lung capacity. Singing can improve your vocal techniques and public speaking skills. Disclaimer, you can be the judge of that. The body may even become more toned and posture improved, although I don't necessarily hold that that's true in all cases. It can contribute towards emotional stability. People who love to sing are better able to control their emotions. They are emotionally more stable and tend to be more often in a good mood. I want to lay claim to that. I love it. It may even have some anti-aging effects. If that were true, I'm 12 years old, I still have hair. But that's not the case. But nevertheless, it builds up neural pathways. And those things that I said through early age and into later ages where we can think and remember and respond. So singing is a whole body activity. It requires our respiratory, circulatory, skeletal and muscular systems of the body as well as the brain to work together to produce pleasant sounds and bring benefits to the whole of the body. I can see in that a parallel that can be drawn with the church. We see in Romans 12:4, we are all part of one body. And as such, when we work together, doing our part in harmony, pun intended, the whole body benefits and God is glorified. Singing has always been in my life. I have early memories as a young boy sitting in our lounge room at home listening to the phonograph, the radiogram, the big box that played records. And we listened to sing along with such things as Burl Ives and the Korean Children's Choir. Some of you will know who that is, Burl. And others, hymns played by Mantovani and his orchestra. And we'd just sit on the floor in front of that and sing along. We had a very small record collection and they were very often songs of praise. But nevertheless, it was where my roots in singing began. Also in this place or in this family, as I've been attending church, this church, for almost 60 years. And so I've engaged in singing in Sunday school and services all of my life. I can remember in services we would come into church as a kid, look on the board and there'd be hymn numbers written up there. We'd have old hymn books to go through and it quickly dash through and see what hymns will we be singing today. We even memorized which hymns were with certain numbers. I know that 513 in the very old hymn book was Trust and Obey. I know that 675 was escaped me. There you go, Alzheimer's, I'll sing it. But yeah, I could remember when I saw the number. I knew what song we were going to sing. That's a good one. I like that one. Some I did, some I didn't. All of the hymns, I don't know, you used to have 5 or 7 verses and probably choruses, so you didn't need to sing too many hymns to fill up a service, but it was always a joy to do. There were also people who would come and sing in church for us. Some of our members, some members from other churches would come, sing solos and praise to the Lord, sopranos that would bust glasses and make you laugh with their high-pitched voices. We would have a men's vocal group at the church as well, I remember, and we always used to take every opportunity to have a go at them with everyone's dad who'd line up and sing in these beautiful harmonies. I appreciate now how good they were, but at the time it was just funny. But that's another aspect of singing, isn't it? That it can put a smile on your face. I still have one of those hymn books at home. Where am I? Other things that I've done in the way of singing. Well, I personally sung at a friend's wedding. That was a real thrill to be asked by someone that I worked with, "Oh, we're getting married. We'd like you to sing." Oh, okay. That was nice. I also had another request for a solo on one occasion when my father asked me to sing at his funeral. That was prearranged. All right, yeah. So it wasn't, yeah. I've written the lyrics for a song and recorded it. I've actually written the lyrics for another song, but that one's not been recorded at this time. But when we recorded a Kingsway album once, I have a Christmas song that's on track 13 on one of our albums. Yeah. And I've actually also had 3 songs written about me and sung to me, which is pretty awesome, by the staff of the school that I was last working at. They had this tradition that when you had a birthday that ended in a 0, there'd be a special morning tea and everyone would gather around and they'd sing a song about you. So I turned 50 at Miranda North Public School, I turned 60 at Miranda North Public School, and when I retired, they sang another song. I tell you, it's awesome to be in a school that appreciates and values singing when that's such much a part of who I was as well. So, yeah, we really had fun with that. I rarely miss any opportunity to sing at a karaoke session if it's happening. And I have even sung at the school talent quest on several occasions, but unfortunately, this is the sad part for me, it's always been a year 2 magician or a year 4 comedian who's been better. I don't know, the judges, they're a little biased, I think. I sing along with the radio in the car all the time while I'm vacuuming at home and also, as I've been recently reminded, while I'm mowing the lawn. When I came in from mowing the lawn, Ruth said, "You know you were singing out there, don't you?" So I checked on the internet. You know, a lawnmower makes a noise at 90 decibels, which apparently is quite loud, and I can be heard inside over the top of that. I've been caught out singing along with the music in the supermarket, and once a very cheeky staff member told me, "Excuse me, sir, this is a no-singing aisle." You know, when I started to write all those things down, I thought, geez, I must be a pain to live with. I'm sorry. I'm singing all the time. I've had some songs that have been favourites of mine throughout my lifetime, as I'm sure you all have. James Taylor, Carole King, Lionel Richie, John Farnham. Those singers were ones that really were important to me in my growing up. But if Gladys Knight had have put out an SOS for another Pip, I would have been there in a heartbeat. I recall quite some years ago, Brett was in the habit of organising music and worship conferences for local churches. And at one of them in particular, we had Jeff Bullock come along as a keynote speaker and he played on the piano, "Blessing, Honour, Glory to the Lamb," and I was there. That was like bigger than any of that, to be able to stand in church and sing with him that song. I remember it now. How many years would that be, Brad? Lots. Yeah. Yeah. To sing some of the old classic hymns still hits the spot for me. And any worship song that focuses on the name of Jesus resonates really strongly in my heart. A favourite song of me for some years now has been the Casting Crowns song, "Who Am I?" This particular song celebrates that despite the insignificance of man, or me, in comparison to the majesty of God, he knows us by name and he calls us his own. It asks and answers the question, who am I? I am yours. I'm sure that you have favourite songs too, and maybe, like has been referred to with Adam's message the other week, just like a pile of rocks can mark a spot of significance in the timeline of history, many of us will hear a song and remember an event. It'll take us back to a place. It will conjure up memories and events for us as well. For me, "Thou shalt sing" is the 11th commandment, one that I gladly obey. But is worshipping and singing important to God? That probably is what we should be talking about more than me. But I just wanted you to know the context of who I am. The word "sing," to sing, appears in the Bible 122 times, which is actually one more time than the word "pray." I'm not sure that that gives the significance of the activity so much, or what is more important than the other. They're both things that we do. They're actions. They're verbs. They're important that they are in the now. Not something of the past, not something to come. I believe that because of that, that number of references and the fact that it even appears means that it is of great importance to God. I believe that God requires us to sing and to give great importance to singing in both the life of the individual and of the church as a whole. When you sing, you obey. Singing does not require any special equipment. He makes it easy for us. If he wants us to sing, he makes it easy. No equipment necessary, no special skills to be learned. Although there probably are some people here who would say that's not exactly true, but it's there free for everyone. It's a free activity. It's accessible to all. It can be done anywhere, anytime, by anyone, alone, together. It's the perfect activity. Some would say that, no, I cannot sing. I do not have a good voice. I don't have a voice that anyone else would like to hear. But that's how the world thinks. That's not how God thinks about singing. You see, God is love. He gives love. He acts in love always. He's so different to you and me. He sees things that we don't see. He knows things that we don't know. He hears things that we don't hear. He is love. He gives love. He hears love and he hears truth. He hears our heart. In Corinthians 13:1, says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." Let's stretch that out just a little bit further. If I sing with the voice of an angel and I have not love, I'm just singing. I'm just making noise. If I praise God without love, he puts on the noise-canceling headphones and goes, "That jars. I don't like that." I don't care if that person's got the voice of an angel. What they're saying is not truth. And what I hear is truth. So that thing that makes the sweet sound to the ear of God is what God hears from our heart in worship and is what truly matters to him. Not what our voices sound like to us or to anyone else. We sing to an audience of one. John 4:23 says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers that the Father seek, Spirit and truth." So he gives us a voice. But he not only gives us a voice, because God has inspired the words of Scripture. Timothy 2:16, we read that Scripture is God breathed. And many of the scripture passages that we read are also being used as the text for worship songs. So he gives us a voice and he gives us the words. He already knows the words. They're his. His words, our voices. two whole books of the Bible are all songs. Psalms and the Song of Solomon, written to be performed. He supplies all our needs. So we have a voice, we have words. He gives us the air to breathe. We sing that song, it's your breath in our lungs. So what do we do with it? We praise you. We praise you only. We pour out our praise to you only. It's just giving back to him and using the tools that he has given us. We are created for this purpose, to praise him. Singing praises to God comes in response to the realization that God, who God is and who we are not. What he has done for us through Jesus and what he continues to do in and for and through us. When we sing songs that proclaim the greatness of God, it helps us to put into perspective how great the miracle of salvation truly is. Then I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die. I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. I ponder on that. And as the hymn continues, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great are you? How great are you, God? When we worship with singing, we bear witness to the whole world that we worship the true God, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus said in John 12:32, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." Now, in that verse, he's really talking about how he will die and letting them know that he will be lifted up and crucified. But I also believe that if we exalt him in a praise, all people will be drawn to him also. When we worship with singing, you're not just praising God, but you're also entering into battle. The Old Testament armies were led into battle by the musicians and the singers, and so we know that singing played a key role in warfare. But in Ephesians 6:12, we are reminded that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil ones. And the more you think about this concept of singing the battle in battle, it makes a total sense. What posture must be more hated by Satan than the posture of a believer who is singing? I can't think of a stronger stance that you can take that identifies you with Christ and against Satan more than eyes, heart, mind, and voice lifted to heaven in song. A singing heart is a heart at war with the work of the evil one and the power of sin. How much more powerful is it then when you join together to give thanks to the Lord in corporate worship and praise? In corporate worship, our singing helps to bind us together. It's more effective than simply reciting or shouting words in unison. Singing enables us to spend extended periods of time communicating the same thoughts, the same passions, the same intentions at the same time. That process can actually have a physical effect on our bodies. And scientists have found that singing corporately produces a chemical change in our bodies that contributes to a sense of bonding. That sense of bonding is a fact that is not lost on many sporting teams. The team from Fiji, who are currently competing in the Rugby League World Cup now, always have a tradition and a culture that they join together and they sing before the game. Most teams have a victory song, which when they win, they're allowed to sing in the change rooms. But the Fijian sides are characterised by their singing pre-match. Last night on the TV, if you watch their game, you will have seen New Zealand versus Fiji, the haka versus the hymn. The hymn, which, if we're lucky, will appear on the screen for us now. I don't know what your Fijian is like, but that song is called This Is My Prayer. And there's probably two words in there that you might have caught on to. U Jehovah. So the prayer is to God. And at the end they were singing Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this group of men, rugby league players, come together and before every game sing praise to God. Everybody sitting in the stand around them is being witnessed to by them. And as Troy pointed out to me this morning in the paper, Kevin Nagama, who's the captain of the team, has been reported in the paper as saying, yeah, we do that because we want to just draw attention to God. We want his name to be known. The game for them's a bonus. Yeah, but yeah, that's good. They're there to sing. Oh, yeah. And then the whistle blows. So to be clear, the scripture doesn't talk about only congregational singing. Doesn't talk only about congregational singing. God is honored when we sing alone. When the musically gifted individual leads us in a solo. When a choir sings. When different parts of the church sing. When there's silence. And just music playing. The Bible isn't specific about exactly who sings or when. But the predominant emphasis of Scripture is about believers confessing their common belief together. The book of Revelation doesn't give the impression that Jesus died for independent soloists, but he died to redeem the universal choir. That means every voice in the church matters. We're not called simply to listen to others sing or to sing by ourselves. We're called to sing with others, especially in the context of our local church. The question isn't, do you have a voice? The question is, do you have a song? If you've turned from your sins, you've trusted in the finished work of Christ, if you're forgiven and reconciled to God, then you have a song. It's a song of the redeemed, of those who have been rescued from the righteous wrath of God through the cross of Jesus Christ and are now called his friends, his children, his church. Once we were lost, but now we are the people of God, and our singing together, every voice contributing, is one way we express that truth. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Oftentimes we think of only singing when we are happy and times are good. But singing brings strength for trial. And that comes out in Acts 16, where Paul and Silas are unjustly imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. And what do they do while they're in prison? Well, it's not a trick question. They sing. In James 5:13, we read, "Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing." In a study of Scripture on this very point, you'll find that sometimes singing gives birth to joy, and sometimes joy gives birth to singing. But persistently in Scripture, joy and singing are bound together. If you struggle for joy, sing. If you're joyful, sing. In God's perfect design and understanding of the human condition, He has bound joy and singing together for His people. Singing has such a unique way of bringing your heart, soul, mind, and strength together to focus entirely and completely on God. In an age of distraction, singing grabs the attention of all our senses and focuses us on God. But singing not only has relevance for the now, but also for eternity. In Revelation 7:9-10, the Apostle John describes his glimpse of heaven with a great multitude of people from every tribe, every peoples and language singing before the Lamb. "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." In Revelation 5:13, it says, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.'" There is singing in heaven even now and will be for all time. So we see that worshiping through song is important to God. But we are called to be like Him. So does God sing? Good question. In Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." Matt Redman, a songwriter, has encapsulated that verse in a song of his called The Father's Song. He calls it the heaven's perfect melody, the creator's symphony, The Father's Song. And he sang it over us. When we get to heaven, we will no longer pray. We will no longer preach. We will no longer share the gospel. We will sing. We will sit around the throne of God and sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Singing praises to God gives us a foretaste of what is to come and helps us to experience His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And what if we don't sing? Luke 19:40 says that if we are silent, the very stones will cry out. Isaiah 55:12, "The mountains and the hills will burst into song, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands." If all of creation will be singing, then how can we not? It's not, do you have a voice? It's, do you have a song? We're going to have the opportunity to continue to worship and to praise our Lord as the band are in place, yes, and to have a time where we can really investigate, do we bring into worship that heart that responds to who we are because of who God is? Are we responding to salvation? Are we excited about the fact that in His timing, we will be part of that heavenly choir? Can we build each other up in faith and love as we sing together? Let's take our opportunities to do that now.